are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back, guys. And it is honestly a privilege to be back with you once again here in the studio at Adventist World Radio, SID Media. It is such a privilege to be able to conversate with you and be able to digress into some of these things that are imperative to our society. For example, looking at the boys' bunker. We're looking at respecting authority, and we are going to be joined on the line by Pastor Gary Young. Pastor Gary Young is going to be taking us through the conversation about teaching boys about respecting parents and authority it's very crucial for their personal development, character, information, and future access to various aspects of life. Here are key points to highlight the importance of installing respect for parents and authority figures. And right now on the line, we are joined by Pastor Gary Young. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Good morning. Doing well, thank you. And yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us here on Adventist World Radio on Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Yeah, my privilege to be back again.
lovely. So essentially, I was just saying to our listeners that we're talking about, specifically looking at the boys' bunker. Yesterday, we looked at, girls, and we tried to interchange between the two, and we're looking at respecting authority and the imperativeness of that. How does teaching boys to respect parents and authority contribute to, formation of the foundation of the moral and ethical values?
This is actually not an easy topic.
Right.
Because I think most of us struggle in this area, to teach these values to our children, to our boys. But look, let's admit it, this is primarily the parents' responsibility.
Right.
So it starts with the parent, it starts at home. And it starts as early as possible, as soon as the child has the ability to understand. And, sometimes even before they can understand, we teach our children, greet your grandfather,
Right.
Greet your uncle, They may not necessarily understand why you have to, but you start then, small things like that.
Right.
So parents are the first and the foremost educators for their children. So they will provide their children with the basic education. And I think it's also important that parents set a good example for the children to follow.
Right.
So children will learn about obedience from their parents. Mm. They will learn to be obedient in terms of their religion. Mm. We learn that. We learn morality at home. And these other intellectual teachings, we learn them in the family environment, the parents, the presence of the parent is highly influential. And so it's definitely the parents and the caregivers that play the critical role in shaping a child's moral and ethical development. And if I can just maybe touch on how it can be done.
Right.
So, look, we're Christians here. I believe that it starts with the golden rule. Hmm. That's a good place to start. Do unto others as you would have them do unto yourself. So if we can start with that principle, then we're on good footing. We have a good grounding. Hmm. You start to treat others then with respect because you would expect to be treated with respect as well.
True. Right.
And modeling it as a parent, that is important.
And I suppose if for example, you're saying do unto others as you do unto yourself, and you as the parents do not respect each other, it becomes a problem, I suppose. It's like, you're telling me that I should respect, but I see you guys not respecting each other, so I'm not really sure how this is supposed to continue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the example must be set in the home. Mm. Well, look, let's let's be honest here, the child-parent relationship is an unfair relationship, situation, because the parent has the power and the authority, you know.
True.
So it's an unfair arrangement. Mm. However, the parents also need to show respect for the child, you know.
True.
So the child also feels respected. Mm. I know that people often want to say that respect is earned. I think that probably in the Christian environment, Christian context, respect is just given, you know, respect is given. We don't have to give respect in response to somebody respecting me first and then I respect them back. No,
right.
The Christian way is that from the start you show respect, you know. Okay, so start with the golden rule. I would suggest number two, set a good example. So parents, the children look up to the parents, you know, as role models.
Right.
And therefore, we must practice what we teach, practice what we preach, you know. Don't say, do as I say, don't do as I do, you know. We must be a good example for them.
Right.
Even when it comes to authority, especially, lately I've seen how people just have no regard, no respect for authority, especially like the police force these days. People feel that they can, you know, just challenge and be rude and just disrespectful to authority.
Right.
Things that I didn't see in my day, you know, but I guess things are different now. So, for example, we as parents, we shouldn't be breaking traffic laws, for instance. You know, let's, with the basics, you know, don't talk down to others, for instance.
Right.
Don't badmouth people behind their backs.
Right.
And, you know, just keep showing, as a parent, show respect for authority and treat others well. Treat others well, you know. So setting a good example is important. And then I would suggest, third, encouraging open and honest communication. Now, children, they are learning still, and we need to guide them in life. And they must feel comfortable to be able to express their thoughts and their feelings with their parents, you know, especially as they are developing their own opinions and their own values. So it's important to encourage this open and honest communication so that we can help the child to feel valued also and supported, you know, as they navigate this complex world of moral and ethical decision making, you know. So we need to encourage open communication and then provide that support that they need, just to help them to understand why we do certain things, and also to teach children that there are consequences for our actions, you know. So you must guide them, you must teach them the some of the basics, like say hello, say goodbye, you know. It is so good to see these young men when you pass them in church or, you know, or in the schools, and they greet,
right,
you know.
Right.
They greet. That is such a nice. That is such a nice touch, you know.
Right.
And it just shows that they've learned some good traits, character traits at home. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been taught the right way. It says a lot about what goes on at home. So, you know, the parents, we must provide support. It's important to keep our cool. You know, not to kind of hammer things down their throats, you know, but be cool and be understanding and be patient to guide them. Don't disrespect your children. Don't humiliate them. You know, just treat them as someone of value. And it helps for them to also realize that they have value in life. And then instilling us, sorry.
Sorry, no, you can proceed. Sorry.
And then instilling a sense of responsibility, you know, that children need to understand that they are responsible for their own actions and decisions. And sometimes their behavior can have significant impacts on others, in fact, you know, doesn't just affect them. So we must teach them to be respectful and that there are consequences for their actions.
Right.
Yeah.
And with all these values that, a parent may instill if they, follow it word for word or in some way their own way, how do these values, help them develop a character in the long run? Is it a situation where I could easily say, it was I did my best to raise this child, whatever, and they just decide to go whatever way with their character. How does instilling these values help with development of their characters?
I think possibly we as parents, we must determine, first of all, what kind of child are we bringing into the world? Will we bring a child who is an asset to society, or is going to be a liability? The character traits that I think most of us want to see in a child, in a boy, is to be humble, to be honest, to be kind, to be pleasant or cheerful, to be faithful, obedient. I'm sounding like a pathfinder now. to understand righteousness, what it means to be righteous, doing right things, to be considerate towards others, to be respectful, to have good work ethic, because we do want our children to succeed in life.
True.
And so then we start teaching these values. Because these values help to determine who they become as adults.
True.
So you got to start then, as I mentioned earlier, you got to start as soon as possible with this training, this education, to help them to become all that they can be, to realize their potential. And we as parents, we can also help them to shape their worldview. Their worldview is how they view things, events, and how they respond to them, even to events and circumstances in life.
Right.
How we respond is guided by our values, And of course, religion plays an important role in character development as well, because we get our instruction from the Bible. Bible gives us a guide as to what is right and what is wrong, and how we should behave as Christians. If these values are adopted by our young men, they will contribute to shaping their characters, and they will now view things from a Christian understanding.
Right.
And they will interact with others, from a Christian context, and it just changes the way they behave. And these contribute to their character development.
Great is thy faithfulness, after all, let's say everything goes well. It's all great. But right now I want to talk about something you mentioned earlier, mutual respect between child and parent. Now that one is a little bit tricky, especially when you bring in cultural aspects of certain groups and communities. It is said that, parents, it's their road or the highway, type situation. How do we now, as this new ever-changing society, what are some of those examples of, a respect or mutual respect between a parent and child?
Look, I believe that we need to create a safe and a trusting environment in the home, where there is a respect from both sides, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand sometimes our cultures and our traditions tell us that, hey, I'm the father. What I say goes, your opinion doesn't matter, that kind of thing.
Right.
I think those are some negative attributes that maybe we're holding on to. But I think even in our most traditional areas,
right,
you will still find people that stand out as showing respect to even their children,
true,
you know, as they're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So people are all different, you know. We have a choice as parents how we treat our children. So mm-hmm. it's not this mutual respect to me is very important because it helps to create, as I say, a safe and trusting environment.
Mm-hmm.
This mutual respect, it will allow members of the family to express themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the family setup.
Right.
It's important for us, you're talking about examples, not to talk over each other.
Mm.
Give everyone an opportunity to talk without interruption.
Mm.
You know, take time to listen. If you disagree with someone, you must listen patiently to what they have to say so we can understand their point of view, you know.
Don't listen and, to respond, listen to listen.
Yeah, listen to understand,
mm.
yeah. But most times, especially in the home, you know, because we feel free,
right,
and we express ourselves, and you're right, we listen to respond with a counter argument,
mm.
not to understand what people are saying.
Mm.
So, yes, listen patiently. Don't try to control other person's choices,
hmm.
you know, let them make their own choices. Don't push them and guilt trip them into doing things, you know. So don't try to control the other person's choices. And talk openly about your needs and your wants, you know, to your siblings, to your parents.
Uh-huh.
Another example is to respect each other's personal space and personal property. It can be difficult sometimes because we're all sharing one home. You know, the space is limited and we all have to coexist.
Right.
We share rooms and that happens sometimes. So it can be difficult, but respect a person's personal space and personal property. And then if somebody needs space, you know, sometimes people just need to
Sorry, Pastor,
be alone.
Just to interrupt
yeah.
you there. You said personal space and personal
yes.
you know, interjection. To what point, like, do you respect that as a parent? I'm not a parent myself. I'm actually just a child of two products, you know, of people. But my mm-hmm. point is, you know that thing of safety, of what your children are viewing on their phones,
mm-hmm.
What they're hiding beneath their beds, or what they're writing in their notebooks. How do you go about doing or surveying that in a respectful manner?
Mm. Now, a very, very interesting question there, because that's a reality that we're dealing with,
mm.
and especially with safety concerns that mm-hmm. we have these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think parent and child need to understand that it's the parent's home.
Right.
As the parent, you can't be absent, you know,
right.
meaning that you're not involved in the child's life at all,
mm-hmm.
even though you live in the home, but you're not involved in their lives.
Right.
You need to be involved in their lives for the child's safety. It's your responsibility as a caregiver to ensure the safety of your children. So we need to watch what they are being exposed to. We need to be aware of it. The cell phone, the child didn't buy that cell phone. I'm sure the parent gave the child a cell phone.
Right.
And I believe you have a right, if you feel that there is a problem. And then you must also explain why you need to do things. Again, doing it in a respectful way, where you're respecting the child and the child's personal space. You're not just invading, you know. So, like journals and all of that, you know, respect those things. Respect them because they are the child's space. However, it doesn't mean that you don't have a right to look at them as a parent.
Hmm. Okay.
And of course, whatever you see in there, whatever you find in there, you must treat it with the confidentiality it deserves.
Mm.
You know, again, that's showing respect for your child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's face it, when we're in the workplace, if you're working in HR, for instance,
mm-hmm.
or you're a manager, you've got personal files for your staff.
True.
And you know, you have to go through those things. You need to have a look at these records, but you understand respect and confidentiality.
Right.
So, I mean, we can do this in the home as well, you know, but I do believe that we do have a responsibility to check up on our kids, that they are safe. Yeah.
So it's a, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship of sorts where you need to, we help each other to do this thing. Okay. It's not necessarily just on the parents, I suppose. The child as well needs to be able to understand that, hey, mommy and daddy are just trying to protect you. We're just checking in, you know, or whatever the case is. Okay, moving along with the rest of our conversation, how does, you know, understanding, respect, and authority contribute to the development of conflict resolution skills in boys specifically? I'm thinking about, you know, the countless work arguments I've had where you're just sitting back like, okay, I don't know why that turned into a tantrum from both sides, you know, whatever the case may be. But how does it help, you know, with something as serious as conflict resolution?
Okay. Well, look, conflict is unavoidable. It's a part of life. I mean, it starts in early childhood. You know, when a child is playing with a toy and another kid comes and takes the toy away, then there's conflict, you know. And it extends, as you mentioned, into the workplace as well, you know, through school, through tertiary, you even find it in church, you know. So we need to deal with conflict. Most people, unfortunately, you learn about conflict resolution in the workplace, you know, where they send you on a course or something.
Yeah, yeah, truly.
but it could start at home, you know, it could start at home. Conflict resolution, I think conflict normally arises when there's a misunderstanding, where there's a lack of respect and all of that.
True.
So you can try and diffuse the situation by showing respect in the conflict situation. It means that you are considerate of the other person. You know, you see the other person as someone of value, and that their views and opinions on the subject actually matter. Their views matter. So you will be careful then to listen what they have to say, so you can understand where they're coming from.
Right.
It also means that you have to learn to be careful in your choice of words. You know, what words you use. You mustn't be now accusing the other person. You mustn't say, you made me angry when you said that.
Right.
The actual response is, I got angry when you said that.
True.
A person doesn't make you angry. I mean, a person doesn't flip a switch and say, okay, anger on. You respond in a certain way. It's up to you how you respond, okay? So choice of words, your phraseology, that's important. And then listening. Listen. In fact, we are told that, I'm just trying to reflect on some of my conflict resolution training, listen to what the other person has said, and then you need to reflect or repeat back to them what you thought you understood, you know. Then it gives them an opportunity to correct you or to confirm that you've understood them correctly. And then the other person has a chance, you know.
Interesting. You know, I'm learning something here, because I didn't even know that's how you do it, you know. I've had a lot of conflict, and I was just thinking about how, like, you know, bad habits of, like, what you see growing up in your home of conflict, and how your parents resolve conflict, or how you and your parent resolve conflict, can affect you in work, your relationships with other people. I was just thinking about that, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's such an interesting point to, like, reflect back and say, okay, is this what you're saying? Just to be sure, and then be corrected.
Yeah. So it helps. You know, in fact, it helps to diffuse the situation. You know, because often when there's conflict, our emotions get worked up, anger comes in and all of that. But then when you display, you show to somebody that, listen, I'm listening to you now, you know, then it helps to calm them down and we can be more rational in our discussions here.
And just to kind of, you know, we're sort of running out of time, even though this is a very great conversation and I have so many questions. But I would like to say, how does, you know, this conversation that we've just had help, you know, okay, we're looking at specifically boys today, foster a sense of responsibility? What I mean by that is, we have a lot of... say now, okay, for example, you got dealt a bad card. Your parents just don't know how to do this respect authority thing. At what point does it stop being your parents' fault and become your responsibility? Vice versa, if you had a great upbringing or whatever the case may be and you decided to go off the bridge, at what point does it stop being your parents' responsibility and it is now yours?
Well, I think we need to, the point comes when boys will learn that there are consequences for their actions, you know. Well, even as parents, we need to teach our children that there are consequences for bad behavior. There comes a stage where a smack on the bottom or a smack on the wrist or the hand doesn't have the desired effect anymore.
Yeah.
But you find other ways, you know, to bring consequences for bad behavior. Mm. For instance, the PlayStation, you learn what the currency is. The PlayStation, the Xbox, the computer, the sports, the TV, you know, so you there are negative consequences that you must bring to... Yes, to instill right values. And of course, there's praise for good behavior. There's praise for good behavior. So we must communicate the both, you know. So once they start learning that there are consequences, and sometimes, as I mentioned, the consequences don't only affect them. You know, could affect family members, could affect colleagues if you're in the work environment.
Right.
So, you know, we need to be careful about this. So teaching them to become more considerate of others. I also feel that respect will even affect your personal appearance. For instance, like in the work environment, if you're going to meet with a client, for instance, you're going to make sure that you dress in a way that shows respect for your client.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it changes you now. You know, so you will have this respect will even make you more aware of your personal appearance, and you will take care of your own stuff, you know. In terms of your manners, they will learn how to mind their manners, greeting, being courteous to all people, not just people with titles and positions,
right.
But even the cleaner, the person who comes to empty your bin in the office, you know?
Yeah, everyone should be respected, yeah.
Yes. So you treat everybody with dignity and respect.
True.
And I'll tell you what, it will promote even an improved work ethic.
Right.
You know, if you have this personal sense of personal responsibility, because you will hold yourself accountable now to certain targets and to certain standards.
Right.
So your work ethic will improve. You will meet, even exceed your targets, you know, in the workplace, and you will excel. It will make you successful in the workplace. So,
well, Pastor Young. You know, I think this is a conversation that needs to continue. I think it's one that is very extensive in terms of respect and responsibility and, you know, looking at authority. But I think you've covered so many bases. I think it's all about learning and continuous repetition of what you see and view, and at a certain point learning to understand that there are consequences and benefits, you know, for each action that you may have. But thank you so much for joining us here on Mid-Morning Empowerment this morning, just to quickly get into that conversation. And unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I thank you so much for joining us and, you know,
thank having you.
This conversation with me today.
Thank you for the privilege.
Ah, it's been an honor, sir. Have a great day.
Okay, then. God bless.
God bless. Bye. And that was a Pastor Gary Young on the line, just talking to us a little bit about the importance of understanding authority and respect for boys. You know, so if you missed out on that conversation, do not fret. We have podcasts available for you on our SID Media website. But as for right now, we are getting into the second hour of the show. The time has just gone almost 5 minutes past the hour, 10 o'clock. We are 5 minutes into the music takeover. And remember, if you'd like to send through your song request, the number to send those through to is 073-470-3520. That is 073-470-3520. You can just add a hashtag there for Mid-Morning Empowerment, the music takeover. You can also send through your, you know, shout outs to probably your mom, your cousin, your friends, and say, you know, this is the song is for you. But as for right now, enjoy yourself and let us get into the music takeover.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.